Football on Off the Ball.
Brought to you by the Boyle Sports app. Cash out and in-play betting available in the App Store and Google Play Store.
You're very welcome back to the show. It's Richie here with you tonight. Don't forget, a little bit later on, as Kieran alluded to, Kevin sat down with Keith Andrews on the Keith Andrews Show to discuss the matters surrounding Declan Rice and his international eligibility and all that kind of stuff. Really interesting and a really multi-layered conversation as well. We're going to bring you that in the football show just after 9 o'clock as well, as we will Andy West talking about the latest from Spain. Before that, as I mentioned, we're going to have Shamie McCallan and Charlie Redmond looking back on 1995 and all that. So keep your memories of 95 coming through as well. 53106 for 30 cent is the number if you want to get through to us. And you can tweet us as well at Off the Ball. Would love to hear from you throughout the course of the evening. Sean in Wexford saying, my memory of 95 in Dublin's win was the gold charity match the week in Croker. It had to be abandoned in the second half as Dublin fans invaded the pitch to mob Jason Sherlock. That was definitely a flavour of how Joe was being received in the capital that summer, and what a decent summer it was too back in 1995. I can remember it. Sadly, I fear a lot of you out there probably can't at this stage, all of 23 years ago. It is time, as it is always, around about now on a Thursday night for Thursday Night Football with John Giles. John joins us on the line tonight. Evening, John.
Good evening.
How are you getting on?
I'm good, thank you.
Good. We have to start, I suppose, with the big news of the week, and that being Declan Rice and his, I suppose, initial exclusion from the Republic of Ireland squad for the upcoming Nations League opener with Wales, and also the friendly with Poland, the other side of that as well. Martin O'Neill being fairly open and fairly honest about the situation surrounding it, saying that he has a decision to make, despite the fact, obviously, he's played 3 games for Ireland so far and probably been Ireland's man of the match in each of those so far, even at the tender age of 19. But it seems his head has been turned to a degree, John. I don't know what you make of it. It's I suppose it's a very nuanced situation. You don't want to come down too hardly on a 19-year-old kid, but also we're kind of left open to the mercy of rather silly rules.
Well, it's a very difficult one. I'm very disappointed that we're in the position that we're in, because he is a very, very good player, and he's probably the best player that's come along in recent times as one of the young players. And I feel very, very disappointed that we're in a position now that he's played 3 times for Ireland and maybe qualified for England now. Mm. I think that I was just reading the papers in recent times, and I think the West Ham owners are maybe influential in this, Richie, to be quite honest, because I think as far as they're concerned, if he plays for England, he's much more important and valuable player for them as if he played for, instead of playing for England. So I'm disappointed in it, but I can understand the lad's point of view. He's a 19-year-old. He's very, very young. And, you know, he might consider, and certainly West Ham might consider, that it's more beneficial to them and to him that he plays for England instead of Ireland. But I'm very disappointed, having played three games for Ireland, that he's not going to qualify for us.
That's, I suppose, the most disappointing aspect of it. There are numerous disappointing aspects of it. And clearly, he obviously hasn't made a decision yet, so he can't come down too heavily one way or the other here.
Apparently, Richie, he has a new agent.
Yeah.
So agents are only interested in the commercial situation rather than the national situation, because when Declan played for us in recent times, he was full of it, the family was full of it, they were delighted to play for Ireland, and now it's changed. And I think he has a new agent, as far as we read in the papers. He has a new agent, which would, I think all the agents are concerned, well, what is the commercial situation? And I think there's no doubt that if he played for England, particularly after the World Cup, when England did pretty well in it, that commercially it would be more valuable to them if he played for England rather than Ireland.
Yeah, I think the financial aspect of it is pretty clear to everyone when you see the premium that's put on English players. And the numbers quoted.
Particularly after the recent World Cup situation, Richie.
You look at Harry Maguire and the numbers that are being quoted around him, and you consider what he went from Hull to Leicester for, and the fact that it was Leicester that signed him and not a bigger side, with all due respect to them.
What was that for, 18 million?
18 million, something like that, and he was worth 75 12 months later.
Yeah, exactly. I think that's what happens in the game. And I think that's what happened to young Rice as well. Yeah. I think the family at the time when he played for Ireland were full of it. So was he full of it. And it's disappointing from our point of view that there could be a change of mind in that. I don't blame the lad on it, Richie, because he's got to look to the future. I don't blame him if he wants to do what he wants to do. But the fact is, if he doesn't want to play for us, he doesn't want to play for us.
Yeah.
So you have to have a committed player. And he's 19-year-old and he's going to be influenced by other people.
What's sad, I guess, is that, you know, obviously he's 19 and in those three games that he has played, albeit all in friendlies against France, Turkey and the USA in the middle, is that he's been our standout player. It's just sad that from an Irish perspective and in a big picture sense, we don't have many 19-year-olds who've actually been born here coming through to push their way through into senior setups.
It's most unusual. I had my own experience when there was a lad played for Villa at the time. He was an Irish lad, could qualify for us. And I spoke to his father and that. And the father said, I do whatever I could for the old country. I said, well, okay, let your lad play for us. And he said, oh, well, I don't know if I can do that. Because what happens with these lads who are born and bred in England, then I think, in my experience, their natural inclination is to play for England.
Yeah.
And that's it. I mean, if this lad wants, if he wants to play for England, he wants to qualify for England, whatever influences are involved in it, we can't do anything about it. He's going to do what's best for himself.
Sure.
And I've no complaints about that. If he thinks he's doing what's best for himself, then good luck for him. I think it's a disappointment for us that he's played three matches for us, played very well, and I think he is a very, very good player for the future for us. But we can't do anything about it.
Yeah.
If he wants to play for England, he wants to play for England. That's the end of it.
A hypothetical situation, John, and albeit it is a hopeful one, if he does decide at the end of this process that he is going to, you know, commit his future to the Republic of Ireland,
yes,
the hope would be that he is welcomed, you know, back to the squad. And
Sure he would, Richie.
But when
I'm sure he would.
But
obviously, I mean, if I were the manager, what I would do at the moment, I would go to see him on a private situation,
right,
and say, what's happening? What do you want to do? Because there's no good lad playing for your country if he doesn't actually want to do it, Richie, you know. And if he says, well, I'd rather play for England, end of story. You know, there's nothing else you can do about it. And if he says, well, I'd rather play for Ireland, I'd say, that's brilliant. Like, whatever influences you have, tell them that you want to play for Ireland, and that's it. But we don't know what the story is at the moment.
And so when you hear Martin O'Neill say that he's got a big decision to make and he's going to leave him make that decision, you'd prefer to see Martin O'Neill have a more hands-on role in this?
Well, I'd only say what I'd want to do, Richie. What I would see as the best thing to do is to go and see him and see the family and the father and that and say, what is the situation? What do you want? What do you really want to do?
Mm.
And if he says, well, I'd rather play, be qualified for England, that's the end of it. You know, you can't make him do anything. And it's understandable from his point of view and say, well, okay, off you go. In my experience, lads who are born in England and bred in England generally follow the English team.
Mm.
That's the way it is.
And I'm just cognizant of the fact that people like James McLean, who are fairly active on social media, they tweeted, like, I know our own Kevin Kilbane was pretty forthright in his views, and
yes,
we'll get them a little bit later on. And he was saying that, he, you know, obviously he'd rather not qualify if we were going to be packed with a team packed with players that necessarily didn't want to be there as their first choice. And James McLean, who's a current Republic of Ireland international and obviously has his own unique set, well, not unique, but he has his own individual set of circumstances surrounding his playing for the Republic of Ireland. He came out and backed Kevin Kilbane. It's kind of a worry when you see members of the current squad polarising them.
Kevin is a smashing lad, I know, and he was a great asset to the Irish team. But was he in the running to play for England?
But it's not necessarily the Kilbane issue here. It's the James McLean being so forthright on social media,
yeah,
saying,
but
that,
was he in the running for play for England?
McLean? Well, McLean would have been in the running to play for Northern Ireland, certainly.
Well, that's what I mean. You know, there's different situations in all families. Mm. Do they want to do it? Do they not want to do it? You know, and we're talking about, you know, the Rice playing for Ireland, which is different again to the McLean and Kevin Kilbane's situation. You know, unfortunately for us, you know, Kevin Kilbane wanted to play for Ireland. McLean wanted to play for Ireland in a big way. Rice's situation is different. You know, is he committed as much as he was, as those other lads were? And is he going to play for England? Want to play for England? You know, all the situations are different. But you have to understand it. You know, Rice played for Ireland there in recent times, three matches, apparently. Well, three matches. And he was full of it. The family were full of it and everything else. Now, I think there might be an influence from the directors at West Ham, because if he plays for England, there's much more of a commercial value in it for them than it was playing for the Republic of Ireland.
I don't know, but that's
the way I see it, yeah. Richie.
More than likely, that's what we'll be looking at. Cormac and Swords has been one person on, Jerry as well, asking why didn't O'Neill cap Rice earlier? We had qualifiers, playoffs, etc., where Declan Rice could have gotten a run out for 15 minutes and that would have put an end
to this debate. I mean, to be fair to Mark, I think at that stage, this lad looked to be totally committed to be playing for the Republic, for us. And, you know, a few months later, it's totally changed. I mean, I think apparently he has a new agent.
Yeah.
And all the agents are not worried about is whether they play for us or play for England. What is the best commercial value?
How can I get my 15% out of this guy?
And I think he's obviously come to the conclusion that the best commercial situation is for him to play for England.
Yeah.
Particularly after England's apparent success in the World Cup, Richie.
Yeah. We'll talk a little bit more about this, I guess, John, at a further date, I suppose, when we get...
I hope he qualifies for us, Richie, because I think he's an outstanding player, and I think he'll be a top player in years to come.
Yeah.
And I think he'd be a big loss to us if we don't get him.
No doubt in that. We'll talk a little bit about the Champions League draw and the goings-on in the Premier League and certain managers' pleas for respect coming up after this break.
Football on Off the Ball.
Brought to you by the Boyle Sports app. Cash out and in-play betting available in the App Store and Google Play Store.
And you're very welcome back. John Giles is on the line there with us. John, just before, just after 6 o'clock, the draw for the Champions League group stages was made, and the prospect of a Cristiano Ronaldo reuniting with Manchester United is on the cards. Juventus and Manchester United in the same group, along with Valencia and Young Boys of Bern. On paper, a pretty tricky looking group for Manchester United. Valencia, you would figure, will put it up to them. And when you think back to last year and how Sevilla managed to trouble Manchester United and how they struggled in the group stage, this one mightn't be as easy as some might suspect.
It's on paper, Richie.
Yeah.
And things are not good at Manchester United, as we know. You know, whether Mourinho is going to be there or not remains to be seen. After last week's result against Tottenham, it doesn't look very good. You know, Mourinho's hit out, as he normally does, telling the reporters that he wants more respect. He's won three premierships, better than anybody else at the moment. But that's in the past. It's what happens in the present. And things are not good there, Richie, that's for sure.
Yeah, that seemed like an exceptional outburst on Monday night in the wake of that defeat to Tottenham. We'll get to the outburst itself, but the game in and of itself, United were pretty much toe-to-toe with Spurs up until around the 50th minute, and then that Harry Kane header went in. But from a United perspective, what would gall them, I think, most would be the fact that they crumbled from there on in. That mentally, the squad don't seem right.
Well, it's not right. There's no doubt about that. I mean, as far as when I watched the match like most people did the other night, Richie, and I thought Manchester United were the better team in the first 30 minutes. Lukaku had a good chance to score and didn't score. But after that, they collapsed. And, you know, Mourinho's moaning about the defence and all the various things, and Mourinho doesn't want to take any blame himself. I mean, he played Herrera in one of the back three, for example. I made six changes from the previous week. And that's what I found disappointing from Mourinho's point of view, because, you know, he's been there for 2 years, Richie, and to make six changes after a poor performance next, you should know your best team by now. I know he's complaining about not having defenders in that he needed from the start of the Premiership, but the fact is he spent, 60, 70 million on new defenders himself. And you would expect more from them, and to be totally making six or seven changes at this particular time, after 2 years in the job, doesn't sound right. Mm. And Spurs went on to win it quite easily in the end. But at Manchester United, in the first half, I don't think Spurs were good. But Manchester United, when they had to defend, didn't defend very well. And Spurs went on to win very well. And then Mourinho, after the match, is putting his fingers up for, like, I've won three titles. This is years ago, and to show him more respect. Well, you know, when he was at his best, he didn't show much respect for Wenger and lots of other people when he was on top himself. So it's a very, very delicate situation. And if I was a Manchester United supporter, I wouldn't be optimistic about the future, Richie.
Yeah, it seems very much up in the air. Without wanting to speak or for the man or defend him as well, a lot of the pleas for respect from Mourinho seem to centre around the fact that he clearly they haven't won the league during his time there, and that's got a rankle with him, or they haven't won the Champions League. But there have been trophies, and there was a fairly decent second place finish as well in the Premier League. I think, without wanting to speak for him, he's saying that if he had the season that, say, a Jurgen Klopp or a Mauricio Pochettino had last year or the year before, whereby nothing was won at all, that he would be rightly pilloried for that. And yet there seems to be an element of forgiveness for the likes of Pochettino and for Klopp for their jobs that they do at Liverpool and at Spurs.
Well, you can make any case that you want, but the fact is Manchester United are one of the leading clubs, and they finished second in the league last year with Manchester City running away with it. Liverpool reached the Champions League final. So I don't think you can start comparing like for like. I mean, the fact is that Manchester United at the moment haven't spent a lot of money for what he did. He's there for 2 years. He's been there for 2 years. To lose at home to Spurs at this particular stage in the season doesn't augur well for the future. And I think he's the manager, so he has to take the credit, and he has to take the blame as well, Richie.
When you see there was a story appeared in the papers today that one of the players that Jose Mourinho so keenly wanted out of Manchester United this past summer, but they weren't able to get the fee that perhaps the club wanted to command for him, Anthony Martial, appears to be in the process of negotiating a new 5-year deal at Old Trafford, which would suggest that they seem to have more faith in Anthony Martial than they do in Jose Mourinho. It seems a bizarre position for a manager to find himself in.
Well, what that tells you is he in charge of the situation? And this is the big problem at Old Trafford now. In the past and the comments he's made, there's no way that he would offer Martial a new contract in the way that has been offered to him now. Mm. So that suggests, Richie, that he's not in charge of the situation. That's the big problem. You see, he's fallen out with Woodward. He's fallen out with Pogba, which are two of the main people at Old Trafford. Now, if you fall out with those two, then you're not in charge of the situation. So it doesn't look good for him in the long term or the short term that he's going to be there for this particular for a long time. You know, like, his comments has been very, very detrimental to Martial and Pogba for that situation. But I think Pogba, because of the World Cup and that, is in a more prominent situation than Mourinho is. And he's also insulted Woodward, who is the boss there. So I think if you insult those particular people, who is supposed to be one of the main players and the chief exec, then and the Martial situation has been offered a new contract, I think that what shows is that Mourinho is not actually in charge of what's happening at Old Trafford, Richie.
Turning our attentions, finally, John, before we let you go, to Spurs, because obviously we can't downplay their performance at Old Trafford last Monday night. They looked a very, very accomplished side in Lucas Moura, who they signed back in January. He almost appears as if like he's a new signing. He seems like a player reborn at the start of this term. They're unbeaten so far in their three games. We're going to have them live on Sunday here on Off the Ball against one of the other unbeaten sides, perhaps surprisingly, in Watford. But Spurs, Pochettino, whatever he has and whatever way he's able to corral these players and make that first 13 or 14 believe in him, he seems to be doing something right.
Yeah, I don't think it's as simple as it looks, Richie, to be quite honest. I thought in the first 30 minutes of the match that Spurs weren't good at all. I thought they were in awe of Manchester United. And as you know, Lukaku had a good chance, which he missed, which might have changed the game altogether. After that, particularly after they scored the first goal, then they grew and grew into the actual match. But up to then, I don't think Spurs were very good, Richie, but they deserved to win it in the end and won it well. But you couldn't say from the start of the game. I thought they were very nervous. I thought they were in awe of Manchester United. They didn't take advantage. Manchester United didn't take advantage of the superiority they had in an early game, particularly with the Lukaku miss. And then it totally changed from then on. And well deserved to win.
Yeah. As long as you have the goals of Harry Kane, I think you're going to be doing okay as a side. And if you have that trio behind you, particularly with Lucas Moura in the form he's in, you're going to look good. Yeah. But it's, again, it's going to be squad depth, you think, that for Spurs that's going to ultimately hamper them.
It's a long season, Richie.
You're going to get injuries at some point, yeah.
And Moura definitely did well. He didn't look particularly good last season. He scored 2 goals in that particular match. But it's very, very, very early days, Richie.
Yep.
I think Manchester United are in a bad situation. I think Spurs are not in as good a situation as it looked from the match the other night. But it's a long, long, hard season.
Yeah, and it's Watford to come for Spurs on Sunday, as I mentioned. That's going to be coming up this Sunday on Off the Ball. John, thanks so much for taking time out to speak to us tonight.
Thanks, Richie.
Cheers, John. John Giles bye-bye. There will be back with us next Thursday at 7:30. Thank you for your texts and for your tweets. Hello to Fozman on Twitter, who says, do not construe James McLean playing for Ireland being from Derry and Declan Rice playing for England as a similar comparison. Derry is in Ireland, part of the FAI, typical Dublin media attitude to the North. If Declan Rice doesn't want to represent us, forget him. On the last part, I absolutely agree with you, Fozman. On the first, I wasn't trying to make that comparison whatsoever. I was merely trying to point out that James McLean had been so critical of Declan Rice's decision to take time away and discuss his future. But thank you for your tweet all the same. At Off the Ball, get them in, whether they are positive or negative. Delighted to hear from them throughout the course of the night. And you can text us as well on 53106. Some breaking news from our Off the Ball All-Ireland final roadshow in Croke Park. Should have probably got some breaking news bit for this. It's grand. Jim McGuinness, pause for effect, has ruled himself out of a return to GAA for now. This is according to the man himself down at Croke Park. However, James Horan hasn't ruled himself out of a return from Mayo. There you go. It's breaking news from our live broadcast or live preview of the All-Ireland Final from Croke Park. More as we get it here back at OTB Towers. Speaking of the All-Ireland Final, a chance for you to win some All-Ireland Final tickets and to support a very worthy cause in doing so. The Emma Lacey Trust is raising money for a Clonmel woman who's been struggling with a crippling spinal disease for the last 6 years. And in conjunction with Moyle Rovers GEA, they're holding a fundraising raffle for 5 All-Ireland tickets, 2 pairs and a single. And if you want to win those tickets and to find out more about the cause, go to clubfunder.com, that's club with a K, clubfunder.com/Moyle_Rovers_GFC/events. We'll put this up on Twitter as well in case you're looking for it too, just to make it a little bit handier. So clubfunder with a K.com/Moyle_Rovers_GFC/events. And if you want to find out more about the Emma Lacey Trust or to donate, you can go to her FundMe page at gofundme.com/the-Emma-Lucy Trust. So all the details we'll be putting up on Twitter as well in the next while. But a chance for you to win some tickets via Moyle Rovers GEA and to help out a very, very good cause as well. So get on that if you at all can. Still to come tonight, we'll be talking Spanish football with Andy West. That's in the Football Show after 9. A little flavour of the Keith Andrews Show. He had Kevin in with him earlier on, talking more about the Declan Rice situation. Some really good stuff from both lads. And a response to Richie Sadlier as well in that piece with Kev. That's coming up after 9 on the Football Show. We'll also be heading over to Flushing Meadow to talk the US Open with John Beertime. That'll be around about 8:40. But on the way next, we'll be looking back on 1995 with Charlie Redmond and Shamie McCallum.
Football on Off the Ball.
Brought to you by the Boyle Sports app. Cash out and in-play betting available in the App Store and Google Play Store.